You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Wednesday, the 18th of July, live on Racing Radio from 1:40 in the afternoon. Please join the team in the studio. Plenty coming up from the likes of Catterick, Lingfield and Uttoxeter in the afternoon before we switch our attention in the evening to racing from Wolverhampton, Yarmouth. There's a couple of cards over in Ireland as well. It's live on Racing Radio. Join us on the William Hill website or on the app. But here joining me for the podcast, I'm John Gibby. Craig Forsyth is with me. Hello, Craig.
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you? You've got a big smile on your face, which is always nice to see.
Yes, yeah, I'm looking forward to a busy Wednesday. Catterick, obviously, the highlight for me, being the most local. And, hopefully we can find a couple of winners at Catterick on Wednesday, John.
Hopefully we can. So we'll start off by talking about Catterick, and then we'll go on to just talk about a couple of the performances we saw last week at Newmarket and future targets for those horses. We'll start with Catterick, and you've got your two selections for tomorrow's racing, and do they both run at the North Yorkshire course?
Yeah, we've gone for one in the 3:30 and one in an hour later in the 4:30. First one of those is Consequences. A horse who has certainly had his problems. There's absolutely no doubt in that. First couple of runs this year, Johnny was almost pulled up in his races. Again, obviously, you know, whatever has been stopping him in terms of his physical problems showed up at Newmarket in April and then again at Sandown. But he got back on track at Windsor behind Cowboy Soldier, when he finished a good fourth of a mark of 90. Although he only beat four home at York, he was only beat seven lengths, and I wouldn't be, you know, too critical of that run. But it was his most recent start at Doncaster that suggested that he was a horse that, you know, certainly looked back to his best. Finished second behind a horse I rate highly, Shaheen, who has since run well at Newmarket on Thursday, of John Quinn's. Didn't get the clearest of passages at a real crucial stage of that race, and he ran on nicely. If anything, you know, this looks like a slight drop in grade. It doesn't look to be anything that as progressive as John Quinn Shaheen in here. And I think off a £1 higher mark, although he has to carry 10 stone, I think he'll take a fair bit of beating. You know, I think he can get back to the promise he's shown earlier in his career. You know, at some stages, he almost looked like a pattern class performer. Mm. But obviously his problems have seen him drop back into handicap company, and off a mark of 87, you know, he's of real interest.
Yeah, I've got to say, I've been following this horse's career a little bit, and I was really hoping he was going to be a group horse at one point coming into the season off the back of a couple of really promising runs at the end of last season. I remember one, I think it was at Newmarket, am I correct, of his last run of the last campaign?
Yeah.
When he came home to win a conditions race really well, and I loved that run. The first couple of runs this season, he looked very keen. Very keen, even more so than what you would expect for a three-year-old coming back.
Yeah, I mean, when you go back to his two-year-old days, he almost looked like a four furlong horse at a real early stage in his career. Because on his debut, he ran at York and chased home Santry, who, sadly, you know, the ill-fated Santry, who obviously sadly died. But he, you know, had set a very high standard of form at that stage of the season. And then he went to Catterick, a much lesser race, 2-11, did a lot wrong, but given the opposition and given the weak nature of the race, he was still able to win fairly comfortable. Didn't build on that, came back at three, only had a couple of starts, and like I said, he's had his problems, but you know, there's no getting away from how well handicapped he could well be. Now they look like to have him back on the straight and narrow. Hopefully he's over those problems, and hopefully he can build on the promise that we've seen from him at Doncaster last time. Now, obviously he had a tongue tie on for the first time, that may have helped him, and he does have stall seven to overcome. But it looks like there should be a little bit of pace in this race, and that should help David Nolan get him settled, and hopefully, you know, he can come home strongly after the promise we've seen where he finished off strongly at Doncaster.
Consequences then for Craig in the 3:30 at Catterick on Wednesday. And you said the other selection runs in the 4:30. What's that going to be?
That's going to be an informed horse, much more straightforward. Als Vinder, who, you know, looked to another one in his early days, could have been a group horse, you know, the talk. He was very highly touted when he made his debut on the track. Again, you know, he didn't go the way as expected. He ended up winning races on the all-weather. And that surface looked like, you know, was going to bring out the best in him. But of late, and particularly at Hamilton on his last two starts, they've been more aggressive with the tactics, setting him away from the front with David Nolan on. You know, he's won incredibly well. Last time, beating a decent horse of Tim Easterby's, has the £6 penalty to contend with. But I think the rise in the weights wouldn't be the biggest danger here for me, John. The biggest danger would probably be Seamster in terms of him taking him on early. But the fact that Seamster's in stall 8 and Alsvinder's in stall 2, I think David Nolan will be first to the rail and be in the prime spot after a furlong. And I think he's going to take a lot of catching under the £6 penalty.
To David Nolan, double for Craig at Catterick on Wednesday. Consequences in the 3:30 and Alsvinder in the 4:30.
I will be upset if Landon Knight wins. He's been the ultimate cliff horse of 2018. But last time at Musselburgh, where he had everything in his favour. You know, the quick ground. I know it says good to firm Ferrer on his penultimate run, but it rained all day that day. And I'm not so sure the ground was as quick as what they said. But last time at Musselburgh, there were no excuses whatsoever. I just think the horse has forgotten how to go about his business and win races. He's travelling well and doing everything else, but he just looks like, you know, he doesn't know how to go past in the closing stages anymore, and that would be the concern. But he's dangerously well handicapped, and it, you know, he's the one horse we don't want to win after the losses that have racked up backing him this year.
So that's Catterick then on Wednesday. Well, now we'll turn our attention to look at some of the performances we saw last week. And, of course, we saw Wells Fargo come and win the Bahrain Trophy, the opening race of the July meeting at Newmarket. And I was really impressed with his performance, Craig, because he's come out. They've ridden him differently. He's come out and made all on this occasion, which is different to what we've seen from him in his other performances so far this season. The step up in trip seems to have helped him. And it looks like he could be a real St. Ledger contender now.
I really like this horse, John. I like him a lot. I went to York. It would be the Dante meeting this year, where he made his reappearance behind Roaring Lion in the Dante itself. And seeing him in the pre-parade ring that day, I was very, very disappointed in him. Because, particularly unlike one of Tim Easterby's, whose horses, when they return to the track after a break, usually always carry a fair bit of condition. He leaves a lot to work on, and, you know, the horses basically run themselves to a better level of fitness. Well, Wells Fargo was almost bordering running up late for his first run. He didn't look to have too much condition on him at all. Ken did say last time at Ascot, when he seen him, he looked an entirely different horse. The talk was, prior to York, he'd had a couple of setbacks and he'd been rushed for the Dante. And that definitely told looking at him in the paddock that day. And he didn't run any sort of race. A slightly better performance followed at Ascot, where Ken thought he looked much better. I didn't hear Ken's thoughts last week ahead of his winning the Bahrain Trophy. But he made all in a good time, and David Allen just kept asking him to quicken and gradually quicken, and he did. And he strung his rivals out, and he really looked the part. And if anything, looking like the ground was still quick enough for him, because he's a horse who has a fair bit of knee action, and he will be better with more juice in the ground. You know, Doncaster, at the end of September, is going to play much more to his strengths than Newmarket in the middle of July. And the fact that he was so impressive, I think he'll take all the beating for me. You know, I'm very, very keen on his chances. In the Ledger, I did tweet before he ran at Newmarket, we're about to see the St. Ledger winner for this year. But I didn't expect him to win. That was the part that went wrong. And it looks like Tim Easterby you know, after the setback, everything, you know, it looks like he's worked the program book backwards. The ledge obviously going to be the target, and he's just fitting in the slots to bring him to Doncaster at his peak. York has been touted as his next target in August.
The great voltager.
It is, and I think that would be the perfect final prep to put hopefully the finishing touches to what looks like he'll have a strong chance in the ledger itself.
So that was Wells Fargo and the Bahrain Trophy on the first day of the Newmarket July Festival. There's more group racing over at Ascot on the weekend, including the Summer Mile, where we've seen good performances from a number of horses. Beat the Bank, of course, has come out to win. Talk of him going for the Sussex Stakes. But the horse I wanted to ask about was Lord Glitters, who finished in behind, but he's second or third in the end. And his target is going to be the QE2 back at Ascot, of course, where we saw him run well in the Queen Anne back at the Royal meeting. I'm just wondering, obviously, it could be a highly competitive affair. We could see the likes of Without Parole. Who knows, we might even see Alpha Centauri turn up in the race. Do you think he's going to have any chance?
Of course. Of course. He's a horse that, particularly returning to the straight track at Ascot, you know, he's very much suited to the demands of that track rather than the round course at which he raced over at the weekend. A lot will depend on the pace in the race, because he is a horse, John, as you touched on off air, that needs to be delivered as late as possible. And the big field handicaps where he progressed through the ranks last year really suited his running style, where the move into pattern races, and particularly Group 1 and Group 2s, probably hasn't suited as well. But he did run well at the Royal meeting behind Accidental Agent, and he did run well again behind Beat the Bank at the weekend on the wrong track. Now, he's sure to run his race, but I think unless they go at absolute breakneck pace, which you don't usually see because the ground's usually a little bit softer at that Champions Day meeting, it might be difficult for him to win. He did win a handicap there last year on that card. I think it was the final race what closed the card that day, when again, you know, he was delivered up the middle by Danny Tudhope.
The Balmoral Handicap, that would have been.
It was, yeah, by Danny Tudhope, late as possible. But can he pull that off in group company? That is the big question, because you've got handicappers that are coming back on themselves that have gone too hard. Against group horses, you don't see it as often. So that would be the big concern. But look at his form figures. How many times, you know, has he finished out the two, really? 15 runs, and, you know, only twice has he finished out the first two in his career. Remarkable figures.
Where do you see the mile division going this season, Craig? We've heard some criticism that we might have a bit of a weak mile division, of course. That picture has changed somewhat over the past few weeks. Do you think Without Parole is going to come out and dominate? We've got other horses, of course, in addition to Lord Glitter's Accidental Agent, who beat him at Ascot. We've got the likes of Ben Battle as well, Alpha Centauri, if she races against the Colts. There's a lot in the mix.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt. The filly's the one that is by far the one that sets a standard at the mile trip. You know, she's been fantastic in the last two races. Of the other horses, the older horses, there's not a huge amount that sets a standard. I do like Without Parole. I think he's a lovely horse. I think he's open to a lot more progress than we've seen so far. But let's not forget that his run prior to Ascot at Sandown, where the ground was a little bit softer, he struggled on that occasion. He did win, but he certainly wasn't at his best. And the way he moved on the ground suggests that, you know, he's going to be at his best under quick conditions. So, you know, coming to October, near the end of October, you know, you just worry about the underfoot conditions for Without Parole in such a race.
So that's a quick look at the mile division for the rest of the season. A couple of the targets for the horses that ran last week, what they might be looking to as we come towards the second half of the flat season. Join us on Racing Radio for every British race and the best of the stuff from over in Ireland as well, including tomorrow when the guys will be on air for all the day's racing. It's available online or on the William Hill app. Craig, thanks for being with us on the podcast today.
Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.